Welcome to The Dental Brief, the world's direct, right-to-the-point podcast produced to get you the information you need to learn and grow your practice. To learn more about our guests and find links to information discussed on our show, visit our website, dentalbrief.com. On to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Dental Brief. Today, we have live with us formerly from Seattle, now in San Francisco. We just got done talking about that. Dr. Sampada Deshpande, say hello.
Hi, everyone. And hi, Patrick. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, so glad to have you here. So excited to talk about your journey, how you got into dentistry. So why don't you just jump right in? Tell me, how did you become a dentist?
It was during high school that I actually, on the recommendation of my school counselor, shadowed a couple of different healthcare professionals. I always knew I wanted to be in health, just didn't know what kind of doctor I wanted to be. And I shadowed my dentist, really liked what he was doing, really liked his work-life balance. He would just go to work like 9 to 5 and then be done. And he just seemed to have a really good rapport with patients. And I really kind of liked that. I found it to be like a career which you could balance with other hobbies if you wanted to. And then I ended up going to the same dental school that he went to. So that was kind of cool.
Where'd you go to dental school?
I first went to dental school in India, in a school called Manipal University, which is one of the best schools to learn dentistry in. And then after dental school in India, I did the 2-year international program at the University of Washington. Getting into that program was not easy. It took me about 2 or 3 years to actually get into an international program because it happens to be so competitive. But then I graduated from University of Washington in 2018 and have since then been practicing.
Yeah, fantastic. Awesome. So you went from Washington, now you're down in Seattle. Tell us, what are you doing now? What's your role in dentistry today?
I do a couple of different things. I practice as an associate a couple of days a week at a private office, which is just south of San Francisco. It's in a little town called Brisbane. So it's about like 5 or 10 minutes south of San Francisco. Beautiful town, lovely patients. It happens to be the only general practice in like that 5 or 10 mile radius. So we end up seeing everyone from town, which is kind of fun. And then I also host a study club. It's called the New Dentist Business Club. It's for all dentists, dental students who are interested in starting their own practice one day. The reason I started the club was because I'm interested in starting my own practice, hopefully by the end of this year. But that club hosts meetings about once a month. So it also gives me an opportunity to meet other colleagues in the area and stay connected with them. And it's always fun to meet other dentists because dentistry, as you know, can be so isolating. You basically just hang out with your hygienist and assistants and your front office staff all day. So it's fun to connect with other people. And outside of that, just to make things fun, I also actually work part-time in tech. So I help a local tech company based here in Silicon Valley to build healthcare tech products. So I work as a product manager for them.
That's fantastic. And best of luck in your future endeavors with starting a practice. That's obviously a lot, right? A lot to overcome, a lot of challenges there. So tell me in your travels and maybe with this, you know, this study club that you've started or that you participate in, what are some challenges that you see dentists facing today? What are some kind of reoccurring common themes that you hear over and over again?
That's a great question because I actually recently sent out a survey to kind of understand what are some of the industry-wide issues that people are facing. One of them is, and you might have heard this often, it's insurance reimbursements. Yes, insurance reimbursements have kind of been the same for maybe the last 4 or 5 decades in dentistry. They haven't really gone up. But I think the bigger issue in that is that many offices actually are not really sending claim forms in the way that insurances will accept it. An interesting thing that is happening now is that even insurance companies like dental offices are facing the same labor crunch that all of America is facing. It's hard to get people in to do certain kinds of jobs. And insurance companies are actually automating adjudication for a majority of those claims. So a computer is actually checking those claims to make sure if things are right or wrong.
Sure.
And they're also trying to use artificial intelligence. So for the few human claim examiners that were actually like, you know, some human was sitting and looking at a claim form sent from a dental office. Now they're trying to replace that with artificial intelligence. So all the more reason for dental offices to really be sending claim forms that can be read properly and easily. So that's one big issue that we are seeing in dentistry. A lot of offices are just facing denials and rejections for work that's already been done. And basically you can't really balance the patients. So offices end up eating that cost and that becomes really expensive, especially for smaller private offices. So that's number one. Another issue is obviously like massive difficulty in hiring qualified dental professionals. I've seen offices that are struggling to even hire good long-term associates, but I think the bigger issue is just finding good hygienists, good assistants, who at a reasonable pay will be able to, you know, provide good patient care. That's been another issue. And I think the third that, again, all of America is facing right now is just inflation. Everything is becoming super expensive. We all knew that masks and PPE was, you know, everything was getting expensive, but now even like other things are getting expensive. So who do we really pass those costs down to is the question. Do we eat it up as just the cost of doing business, or do we pass it on to our patients? Who really like works that out is another thing that people are struggling with.
Sure. And those are all, yeah, those are certainly reoccurring themes. Let's tackle one of them. Let's jump into and talk about staffing issues and keeping a team. What are you seeing people do that is working to either find people to come into the practice, or even better yet, keep the people that you have?
If you're trying to keep, like retain people that you have, I think one thing that can really work is just training and really showing good leadership, good team management skills. I think the people that I've spoken to who have less issues related to teams are the ones who are frequently like investing in their team with, you know, team trainings, team meetings, making sure everyone is on the same page. And of course, it all kind of starts with hiring the right people, like not just hiring anyone. If you start with hiring the right person who is perfect for the job, who wants to do the job, then it will make sense to kind of keep investing in that person, you know, for the next year or, you know, how many ever years you keep that person. So that's one part of it. But if people are struggling to find other individuals to get in, like if they're looking for maybe a front office manager or someone else, I found that a lot of offices are trying to get things automated or get things outsourced. So billing, for example, is something that you can outsource. Wherever you can try to, if you can find another way to do it, because you can't really find people to come into your office and do that task, I think that is the best way to go, at least in the current scenario. The issue with finding clinical staff like assistants and hygienists is harder to tackle, because if you're in an area which doesn't have very many hygiene schools or assisting schools, what can you do? For example, in Seattle, we had, I think at one point we had 3 or 4 hygiene schools, and then all of them kind of closed and consolidated into one hygiene school. And then that hygiene school was also on the brink of shutting down, which was very scary. So University of Washington kind of put in funds into that. Then Delta Dental, which is another insurance company, put in more funds for that, like to kind of continue sustaining that hygiene school. Because if that school closes down, we don't have anyone coming to help us at our offices. So little things like that can go a long way.
Sure. So I want to real quickly, and we'll put it on our website. I want to tell our users about your website, which is Sampada-DDS.com, correct?
Yeah.
And then lastly, before we go, you have a book that you wrote, right, called Persevering. Tell us about this book and why someone should read it.
Yeah, the book is actually aimed at foreign-trained dentists, wherever they are in the world. And a foreign-trained dentist is exactly what I am, which is someone who went through dental school elsewhere in the world, whether it's India or the UAE, anywhere, and who plans to move to the US or to North America and, you know, go through dental school again over here and practice and settle down. The process ends up being so complicated, and it's just extremely competitive to even get into a school, that when I was doing it, I was completely blind to how many things you have to actually get done. There's a ton of paperwork, not a lot of mentorship or support to, you know, guide you through the process. And it just ends up being demoralizing because you don't really know anyone else who has done it. So you don't have anyone to ask questions to. So the book is basically a complete guide on how to get through the application process, how to prepare for interviews at different schools. Schools actually have like a mock REB sort of exam for foreign trained dentists. So basically what we do for REB, which is to get our license to practice. Once we are done with dental school, we are made to do those mannequin based exams at the school as an interview. So I go over in the book how to prepare for those interviews, how to put your best foot forward. And then once you get through school, how to actually look for work opportunities and navigate the visa issues and figure out how to actually just practice and be successful as a practice, as a practitioner in the US. So if there's any foreign trained dentist listening to this or knows of a foreign trained dentist who's interested in the process, that would be a book for them.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you so much for being on and sharing with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. It was my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And one more time, I want to just tell our audience about your website. It's sampada-pandedds.com. We'll have a link to that on our website and social media when this goes live too. So again, thank you. Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. Did you know you can weigh in on today's topic on Facebook? Search The Dental Brief on Facebook or visit our website, dentalbrief.com, and just follow the link. We look forward to having you join us again on another episode of The Dental Brief.